I like doing this. This is fun. And last week we were talking about Genesis chapter 1, when God's creating stuff. How is he creating stuff back then? Somebody tell me, well, how was he doing it?
By his word.
By his word. He spoke it, right? Did he believe that what he spoke was going to happen? Better believe it. That's the faith of God. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. All right, so this tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. Remember, we learned that fruit is the ripened ovary of a flowering plant containing seeds, right? Okay. How many of you remembered that? Okay, I did. Something I learned a long time ago. But it is, fruit always contains seeds. Always. All right, any type of fruit, if it's a fruit, it has seeds. And so those seeds produce, do they produce one more seed? No. Do they produce one more apple? No, they produce an abundance of apples. They produce a tree, which puts out a lot more fruit and a lot more seeds. So you guys just sowed seed into the ministry. Does that seed, if you throw in a quarter, does it come back to you as a quarter? No way. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So sowing and reaping, this is out of the Strong's. It means to scatter. Most of us think of sowing as throwing seed, all right, or planting it, all right. But it also means to receive the seed. Whenever you receive seed, that makes you the sower. You automatically become the sower, because without someone to throw the seed is absolutely worthless, right? It just sits in a bag. All right, so Matthew 13, chapter 1 through 3, this was the parable of the sower, okay? There were three classifications here of the seeds. One of them fell by the wayside, all right, and the birds immediately came and ate it. One fell on rocky soil, and it grew up quickly, but there was no root. The roots couldn't keep water, so the sun came up and scorched it. And then there was another one that was thrown, the wayside, the rocks, and then there was one thrown somewhere else, and the weeds came and choked it out. The thorns and the thistles choked it out and killed it and suffocated it. All right. In the middle of this parable is verse 15 through 17. I want to kind of focus on this a little bit today. Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Matthew 13, 15. This is right in the middle of when Jesus is telling us this parable. For this people's heart is waxed gross. He's talking about the Jewish people. He's saying they don't understand what you are learning, okay? There have been people in history who just died and know what we know today, all right? For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So he's saying, man, if they would just listen, if they would just see and understand the word, then they'll be saved, all right? They will be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they hear and your eyes see. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. One of these parables, the ones who were thrown by the wayside and the birds came and devoured them up, those were the people that Jesus said, they hear the word, all right? Let's say you guys go out and talk to somebody about salvation, or healing or prosperity or deliverance or something, you guys. You're telling some man, God can save you. He can deliver you from drugs and alcohol, you know, and something's blocking them. The enemy has blinded their eyes or their understanding, and they're confused about something. They don't understand. They haven't received the word. They didn't have ears to hear. And then you've witnessed to them. They go off and leave. They didn't understand. Immediately, Satan comes and devours that word, okay? That's because they didn't understand it. It's our job to make people understand. So we need to hear and understand, not just about salvation and those things, but about every aspect of the gospel, every aspect of this word that we see, we hear, and understand, all right, so that God can do a work in us. So many prophets and righteous men have desired to know what you know. Praise the Lord. So how much word has been sowed into our life? We talked about all this last week. We're going through a review. How much word is getting sown into your life every day as you're coming to this ministry, as you're listening to CDs? How many of you listen to CDs or podcasts or something? You're getting some type of preaching to you during the week outside of the church, okay? It shows it matters in your life, doesn't it? That's very, very, oh man, I love listening to somebody like Keith Moore or Brother Hagin while I'm working. You know, the resources are out there for you, not just so you can just come here to church and receive and get watered once a week, okay? There's a lot of resources out there. I've got stacks of CDs on all kinds of teaching. If anybody wants them, I'll give them to you. You can have them. And they will change your life, I promise you. So Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 21. So once you receive seed, so you've been coming here for years and decades, God's been giving you seed to sow. You've been given seed, he's also been given seed back to you, right? All right, that makes you a sower and a reaper. In Genesis chapter 1, there were two laws, sowing and reaping and speaking and believing, two natural and spiritual laws that God operates in with faith. Speaking and believing and sowing and reaping, they operate together, okay? So Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he said unto them, I'm sorry, let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. So let's say you're praying for a lost loved one. God, save them. Lord, send laborers to them. Or you're praying to get out of debt, let's say, or a sickness or something in your body, okay? You're praying. You're sowing seed. What is a seed? The seed is the word of God, right? You're speaking scriptures over yourself. Lord, you said that if I train up my child in the way that they should go, they won't depart from you, okay? So I'm standing on this word. You're sowing seed into that situation. You're expecting a return, okay? You're expecting much fruit that remains, all right? But sometimes there is a process of time, just like when a farmer sows the seed. He puts the seed into the ground, all right? And he doesn't really know how that works. He just knows that something is going to grow. The corn is going to grow up, and it's going to bear fruit, and it's going to bear a lot of seed, right? So Jesus is saying here, you know, that it may take a little time, but once you plant the seed, it's important to say, Lord, you have healed my body. It was by your stripes that I was healed. You planted the seed, right? And we're not supposed to go back whenever we go into work and say, oh, I'm sick as a dog. I'll never get over this sickness, you know. That's pulling the seed back out of the ground and throwing it in the trash, okay? So it's important whenever you say those things in prayer, it's important to speak it out and believe you receive it, what you've asked for. Mark, where am I with you guys? Okay, here we go. Well, I was way ahead of you guys. Mark 4, 26. Is that where we just were? Okay. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how. So whenever you sow these words of faith, whenever you speak the word, you don't have to know how it's going to happen. Okay? We don't know what happens as this seed is bearing fruit, as it's growing. It just does. All right? We believe God. You stand on His word. You speak God's word. You believe it by faith. Remember, this is the truth. Okay? If your body is sick, and someone, man, you look sick. Oh, I'm not sick. I'm not sick at all. No, remember, you just stay home. Your body is sick, okay? If you were to say, no, I'm not sick, you'd say, instead of saying that, you say, well, I'm healed. It was by Jesus' stripes that I was healed, okay? But you say that while you're at home, okay? Don't come here and get us sick, all right? But because there's that fine line between lying and faith, right? Oh, I've got $1 million in the bank account. No, you only have negative $23 in the bank account. So don't be out there writing faith checks, right? Because you don't have $1 million in the account. God says He wants you prosperous. Yeah, He says that He's going to give seed to the sower. But and that's the truth. But the facts are, you don't need to be out writing hot checks because they're going to throw you in jail, right? See the difference, right, between faith and facts? Faith and facts? Okay, praise the Lord. So the second spiritual and natural law that God was talking about in Genesis 1. Remember He was saying, He's talking about plants and things, creating things. Mark 11, 22, Jesus tells us to have the faith of God. Have faith in God. It literally translates to have the faith of God. God is sowing and reaping, and He's speaking and believing, right? Okay, this is Paul, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, and therefore we speak. This is the spirit of faith. Genesis chapter 1, this is God speaking and believing. So Mark 11, we are going to go somewhere new with this, I promise. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. All right? So God, whenever he said, let fruit bear seed, and every tree, bear fruit, he's speaking those things out, and he is not doubting in his heart, but he's believing those things that he speaks. Isn't that right? When you pray, believe, speak, and believe you receive. Believing you receive is a very important ingredient, okay? Mark 11, 30 through 41, this is Jesus. He's got his disciples, and he said, let's go over to the other side. Okay, this was before they go out into the water, and they're rowing, and the big storm comes in while he's sleeping in the boat. You know that story? But at the beginning, remember, faith comes by hearing God's word. Well, God said, let us go to the other side. So he spoke out. He believed that what he was saying was going to happen. He spoke it out, let's go. And we're going to make it to the other side. And, of course, they didn't know these things, of course, back then, those disciples. And then what immediately happens that night, they wake him up, oh, we're going to die. Don't you even care that we're going to die? And he went out there and said, peace, be still. So there was a moment of faith where he said, let's go to the other side, talking about future tense. We're going to do this. We're going to call those things that be not as though they were. And then there was a time where he was actually speaking to the elements, speaking to the mountain. It says, remember, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you're going to have whatsoever you say. So there's two different instances, two different examples for us, the way we can use faith. All right, something to happen in the future, things that we can't see, and then something where you're speaking to something that you can see and you're telling it to leave, right? You see that? So praise the Lord. Romans 4, 16, God calls those three things that be not as though they were in the past. This is faith. Light be, okay? Let us go to the other side. Mountain be removed. Cancer be removed in the name of Jesus. Lazarus come forth, okay? This is all Jesus showing us perfect examples of these things. So I want to go to Luke chapter 11. This is always a good one. I like this story because it really gets misinterpreted. I don't know. Remember, we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. And King James Version on this story, it can get kind of, can give you the wrong idea about something, but whenever you look into certain words, words that we don't ever use in a sentence, I've never used this word in a sentence unless I was teaching somebody about it. But until then, I had never used this word. So this is Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me in it, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So that word, importunity. All right, so I got to take my little thing with me. I saw this while I was writing this. I wanted to do something, give you an example of what this would be like. Okay? So I'm going to be like, knock on the door. You're going to pretend that you're sleeping, okay? All right. Hey, are you awake? Hey, I got a friend in town. He just came. Can we please have a little bit of bread? Because I don't have any, and he's really, really hungry.
No.
Is that how he, please?
I don't want to.
Come on now. We're good friends. We've been together. We've been hanging out since we were little kids. Please. Please? Is that what importunity means? Does it mean begging? That's what it sounds like, though, doesn't it? The word importunity, but because of his importunity? No, all right, so we looked it up. Approach, attack, intercede, urge, or to make supplication. It's more like, hey, wake up. I need some bread. Give me some bread. My friend's in town. And he doesn't have. I don't have anything, and we need some bread. Will you get us some?
Yeah.
All right. That is importunity. That is beating on the door in the middle of the night. That is boldness. That is, how many of you beat on the door of your friends in the middle of the night? You probably don't, unless it's something really, really important, right? New American Standard Bible. New American Standard Bible, that's my favorite. Persistence and shamelessness. Persistence and shamelessness. So why does the friend grant that request? Was it because he was pitiful and begging? How many of you have ever gotten anywhere with being begging? But usually it's because you're bold and you're like, hey, you know. Whenever you ask God for stuff, when you tell that mountain to move, you've got to be bold. All right, it's like I've heard people say it's like a bulldog kind of faith. You've got to latch onto it and don't let go no matter what the circumstances are. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. It is done. All right. God has given, God gives seed to the sower. He's made me prosperous. I'm victorious in the name of Jesus. And I command that mountain of debt to leave. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is not begging. It is boldness, importunity. It's because of his importunity. It's because of your boldness. How are you going to be, if you don't understand your righteousness in Christ, that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, when you boldly approach the throne of grace and you pray in your time of need, if you don't understand that you're righteous with God, if let's say there's some sin in your life somewhere, and you don't really feel You don't really feel is not the word. You don't sense that you're in a righteous position with God. You can't, you're not going to come to him boldly, are you? All right? It's those who are in that right standing with the Lord. That guy was in right standing with his friend. He knew he could go beat on his door at any hour of the night and say, hey man, I need this, okay? It's important for us to know that as Christians, we have a blood covenant with our Heavenly Father, with the one who created, who owns everything. We're in a blood covenant with him. And it's our part as we obey his word and as we hide his word in our heart and as we know his word and the benefits that he gives us, we can speak to him and say, hey, this is your end of the deal. This is your end of the bargain, okay? I'm paying my tithes. It's not a matter of us doing works. I'm doing the work of paying my tithes. I'm in obedience to you. I'm doing my part of the relationship here. Now it's your job to do yours, and I know you're going to do it because you're faithful and you've always been faithful, and you count me as faithful. All right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Mark 4:26, let's go back to that. This is between the parable of the sower. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The book of Amos, I love this scripture. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. All right, so whenever you pray for something, expect God to give it to you, okay? You don't pray to God, Lord, whenever, Lord, I know you want me healed. I know it's your will. Whenever you're ready, you know, I'll go ahead and receive. No, receive it now, okay? This process of time, sometimes it does take time. I don't really know why. I don't know if it's a matter, if it's a faith issue. We're not fully believing in something. I don't know. I can't answer that question at all, but sometimes, man, God answers that prayer real quick. Let's say Wednesday night, I had it with van ministry. I said, I'm not doing van ministry anymore after tonight. You know, I've got too much going on. I want to be there with the youth before the church starts. You know, I want to be with the band. I want to practice. I want to be in prayer. I want to have meetings with, you know, volunteers and those things. I said, I'm not going to do van ministry anymore. So I called all the kids. I said, okay, called their parents. I said, we're not going to have van ministry. You'll have to bring your kids. They said, okay, cool. I said, I told them, I said, well, pray for another van driver. All right. So they said, okay, we will. So the very next day, somebody came up to me that Thursday night and said, hey, I want to drive the van. I said, hey, praise the Lord, okay? So there doesn't have to be a process of time. Don't feel like you got to wait on the Lord whenever you ask him for something. Believe you receive it, right? Believe you receive it, and you shall have it. So Luke 18, here's another scripture that I like to talk about. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. That's a good one whenever it comes to sharing the gospel. Because a lot of times you'll speak to someone and share the gospel with them, and there's been nobody in their life who has ever shared the gospel, and you're the plowman, and you're the waterer, and you're the reaper too at the same time. Praise the Lord. That is a good time. You speak to some kid who's never heard of Jesus, and he automatically receives him. Luke 18. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now this set of scripture has been twisted and torn up by the enemy so much. All right, the enemy will trick people into thinking that the unjust judge is God, and you got to come to him and keep begging him for healing. You know, there's Jesus bought five things for you on the cross. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, and victory, okay? He bought all those things for you in that blood covenant, all right? It's already provided for you. It's yours to receive, all right? And he's not going to tell you no on those things, all right? I'm going to get back to this story. But I believe that he will say no to somebody when it comes to direction in their life. Lord, I was telling the youth this the other day. I want to go to this college, all right? And God will give them a check, say, no, this is where I want you. Stay here now. Or, I want to be a preacher. I'm gonna talk to the board, and I'm going to take the position, you know. God will, you know, of course, that's a structure, an authority thing, but college or marrying somebody, I believe that God will say no in those situations. He'll say yes or no, whatever, give you direction in those things. But when it comes to saying no to healing, you guys, that is not true, okay? Let's read this again. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she wearies me. Now, how many times does she ask him to avenge her? No, she tells him, doesn't she? Is this a woman who knows, who has some authority? Amen, right? This is a woman who knows her authority, who has some. This unjust judge can never be God, right? We understand that God is not an unjust judge, all right? He's not an unjust judge who is making people sick, and where we got to ask him over and over and over again to please heal us, okay? The unjust judge is the devil. She's telling the devil, she says, hey, take your hands off my stuff in the name of Jesus, all right? This is the way we speak to our enemy, right? We are seated in the body of Christ, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. Every name that is named, all right? You are seated spiritually in Christ Jesus, on the right hand of God, giving you your authority so you can tell the enemy, hey, leave my body alone. Leave my finances alone in the name of Jesus. All right? Hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. All right? Expect when you pray for God to avenge you speedily. All right? There's no need to wait. There's no need to expect to wait. Okay, you expect God to do it now. All right? Faith is right now. Did she approach begging? No. Right? Neither do we. Okay, we don't approach God begging. All right? If you don't have that sense that you can come to God and pray to him and say, Lord, you promised me this in your word. Okay? Let me remind you, you know, God told us to remind him of his promises, all right? You remind him, say, hey, your word says this, all right? And I'm expecting, you're not demanding God, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But you are, and this is really an act of humility because this makes us uncomfortable to come to one true God, the one who created everything, and sit there and say, hey, you promised me this, all right? That makes us uncomfortable. And the thought of that, of doing that, it does make us uncomfortable, and by doing that, we humble ourselves, though. It's kind of hard for me to explain right now, but I want you all to understand that that is an act of humility. Remember King David, well, when he was a shepherd, he said, I'll cut this uncircumcised Philistine's head off, you know. I've already killed a bear and a lion. He wasn't gloating, okay? He was telling people what God has done for him. This is the same thing. God, you've been faithful in my past before. You've been faithful to all these people in the Bible. You've been faithful to my neighbor down the street, my family, and I know you're faithful to me. So right now, I receive what I've asked for in Jesus' name. So do not approach God begging. As long as you have that righteousness, if you're seated in Christ and you understand that, all right, how do we do that? We're in relationship with him. If you've sinned, repent. Confess it and repent. Turn away from it. And then you are in that right standing of God, and just approach him boldly. Did it take long for God to avenge her? No, he did it speedily, didn't he? All right. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are people perishing today? Amen. They're perishing physically. They're perishing financially. They're perishing spiritually. Okay, people are perishing. All right, is that God's will? No, absolutely not. God cannot control every situation legally because we have sold our legal right, because man has sold their legal rights to the enemy. Then you become in this right relationship with Jesus, you have your authority back, okay? It's a legal thing. It's not because he can't, because he doesn't have the power. He does have the power, but the legal rights have been sold. All right, so people are perishing, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew 13, 15, if we could only hear, see, and understand so that you may be healed. Another account of the Gospels, I think it's in Mark, the same story of the parable of the sower. He said, so that you will be have salvation or saved, okay? So when we hear, see, and understand, we believe, we pray, we say, God, this is my authority. I know I'm in right relationship with you. I'm in obedience. I'm doing what your word says. I am healed. So sow this word. You remember, you've received seed. That makes you a sower. Not only do you sow this word into other people's life, but sow it into your own life, okay? Everything that you've heard. And remember, the Holy Spirit, his job is to remind you of everything that Jesus said. So sow the word in your own life so that way you can reap the benefits. There's no better witness to people around, to the lost people around you than, oh man, God gave me a pickup truck the other day, which he did for me today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a free pickup truck. Praise the Lord. Woo. And I got a free ticket to the Marshall Islands. Woo. Praise the Lord. All right. Now see, that's a good witness, isn't it? All right, man. People who are struggling, people who don't know God, they hear stories like that, and that draws them to it. Or, man, got healed of cancer yesterday. Praise the Lord. Rebecca's cousin's daughter got healed of some kind of weird disease. It was some kind of birth defect, and the doctors told her the other day that she is completely healed. I mean, praise the Lord. God's doing amazing things. And it's because, it's not because of our works, okay? I'm not saying this. It's not because I'm sowing all this seed into my life. I know the Bible so well. No, it's because we're calling on God saying, hey, you know, you said this, so we receive it, right? No matter how much time it takes, okay, we're thanking him for it. Thank you, Lord, for getting us out of debt. Or thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies, okay? Thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us all these things. So sow the word in your own life so that you can reap the benefits yourself. Psalm 68:19, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Hallelujah. Even the God of our salvation. That word salvation is the same salvation word that I always throw in front of your face. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What's another salvation scripture with the word salvation in it? Quick. And confession is made unto salvation. Okay, you know those scriptures. That word salvation, it translates into Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus. All right, praise the Lord. That name of Jesus is salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, victory. Hallelujah. So sow that word into your life. Sow those scriptures into your life because he daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your word went forth this afternoon, this evening, into fertile soil of these hearts. Lord, we thank you. We know your presence is here, and we give you glory this evening. Hallelujah. We thank you just for the fire of your Holy Ghost on all these people. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Have a great week. Praise the Lord.